You got to do it his way. Because if you do your part, he will do his part. Is there a witness in this place? If you do your part, he says he will do his part. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal the land. If you do it his way.
Welcome to the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, Senior Pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. Get ready for a word that will transform your life for the better and give you insight on how obedience to God's word is set up for a lifetime of blessings and a weapon to thwart any attack of Satan against your life. At the end of this broadcast, information will be given about their church location and how to obtain a copy of this message in its entirety. Now, let's join the Excellence in Ministry broadcast already. Ready in progress.
A little while as we focus and reflect on those verses, I'd like you to consider with me for just a little while this subject. Let my people go. Mm-hmm. Let the church say, let my people go.
Let my people go.
Let my people go. And God is calling us as the church of God to set them free. And rather we survive or not as a people, I believe does not just rest with God, but rest with the people of God. Mm-hmm. And God does not want his people to be in bondage. As a matter of fact, if we really consider the will of God, the plan of God, what God really wants ultimately for everybody is for us to be free.
That's right.
Amen.
God does not want his people in bondage. God wants to get the glory out of our lives.
That's right.
And the only way God gets the glory out of our lives is when God can look at us and see himself.
Amen.
That we, you and I, ought to reflect the very image of God. And in reflecting the image of God, since God is free, God wants you to be free. Mm-hmm. So that you can do the things that God has called you to do. and be the people that God has called us to be. Anybody glad that God has come to set us free?
Amen. Amen.
And since God has set us free, God wants to use us to set his people free. We're now in the month of February where we're celebrating the marvelous heritage that is ours. And I thank God for the rich heritage that we share as we reflect on the ancestors, as I talked about earlier, who have gone before us, who paved the way, who made the difference, who cried the tears, who shed the blood, who stood in lines, who stood up to dogs, who refused to move, who took risk and who marched so you and I can be free. Come on, give God praise for our ancestors. And because of what they did, we have been set free. Free. After all the many years of slavery endured by people, years in bondage, working till can't see in the morning to can't see at night, making, as it were, brick without straw,
well,
being beaten and whipped and lynched and raped, put out, laughed at, criticized and scrutinized. But all through the toil and the anguish that our people have endured, thank God for those who were determined to be free, who yearned to be free, and took the kind of risk and took the kind of stance and got involved so that we might be free. As we consider the day in which we have lived, I look at a poem that was written by the late Paul Dunbar called Sympathy. And I just want to just read a few verses from his poem when Paul Dunbar compares the life of the black man and the black woman in that day as a caged bird. He says, "I know why the caged bird beats his wing till his blood is red on the cruel bars, for he must fly back to his perch and cling when he fain would be on the bough a swing, and a pain still throbs in the old, old scars, and they pulse again with a keener sting. I know why he beats his wing. I know why the caged bird sings on me when his wing is bruised and his bosom sore, when he beats his bars, and he would be free. It is not a carol of joy or glee, but a prayer that he sends from his heart, deep core, that upward to heaven he flings. I know why the caged bird sings." I thank God for those heroes and sheroes who told the story, who encouraged the people, who did all they could to fight for our freedom so that we can have the right that has been promised by the Constitution of this United States of America. Well. And I want us to understand that the same resolve that they had, the same tenacity they had, the same determination they had, we need that today.
Amen. Amen.
And if we're going to survive as a people, and sadly, my brothers and my sisters, that although we have been set free, in a real sense, there are many who are still in bondage. In this day and in this time, there are people who are just caught up in so many different things, who are in bondage economically, who are in bondage socially, who are in bondage domestically, and who are in bondage even spiritually. And God does not want his people to be in bondage. God really wants to set us free, and God wants to send his people to go to the people and let the pharaohs of this world know, "Let my people go." I love the book of Exodus, and I have been intrigued as I have read it again for the first time, and you ought to do that. Sometimes when certain stories become so familiar to us, we may not revisit them, but read it again with some fresh eyes, and you will see things that you've never seen before. You know the story of Exodus, the story of Moses. You saw the movie. But as you think about the children of Israel, how it was that through the influence of Joseph, they end up in Egypt, and Joseph has so much favor with the Pharaoh that he becomes second in command. He moves his family to Egypt, where they enjoyed great posterity and they enjoyed great prosperity. Oh, they multiplied. They waxed well in Egypt. But the Bible says, as we open up the book of Exodus, that there came a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. In other words, there arose a Pharaoh who could care less about Joseph, and he became intimidated by how rapidly the children of Israel were multiplying, how they prospered, how they grew, how they were able to overcome obstacles, and how they seemed to thrive even in that land. And because of his fear that they would join their enemies, it was the Pharaoh's desire to put over them hard taskmasters, and they were afflicted and enslaved. Here the people of God who have been recipients of a promise are now finding themselves in bondage in Egypt. Like so many of our ancestors, and the parallels are almost frightening. Made to make brick without straw. Being whipped and beaten to build the cities and to work up from sunup to sundown. And they were oppressed with a great oppression. Meanwhile, Moses, who was able to, after the decree of Pharaoh, to kill all of the male children. It was the mother of Moses, you know the story, who took her son and put him in a basket and sent him in a basket up the Nile River. And as it turned out, the daughter of Pharaoh found the basket and took Moses to be her son and raised him in the house of Pharaoh as a prince of Egypt. And as the story went on, one day Moses was walking along. He saw an Egyptian beating one of the Israelites. And Moses intervened and ended up killing this Egyptian. And Moses had to escape for his life because Pharaoh wanted to kill Moses. And Moses found his way to a place called Midian, where he united with Jethro and ended up marrying Jethro's daughter. And now Moses is tending sheep that belong to his father-in-law. And you know the story. As he's tending the flock of Jethro, the story opens up in Exodus 3. He led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. He said, do not draw near this place. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.
That's right.
I want to stop for just a while right there, because I want you to know that God is calling us just like he's called Moses. And what happened is that when what I love about the story is that when Moses was doing what he was, what he felt he was to do, he was minding his own business. He started his first 40 years in the household of Pharaoh.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7 listeners. Get ready for a minute with the doctor.
Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church.
The word of God tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. People of God, I have a question. Are you operating in the fruit of the Spirit? If you are, then you are on the right track for Christian living. As Christians, these nine attributes display to those around God is truly in us. First, it starts with God's Spirit, because without God's Spirit, it would be impossible to operate for Him, because you can do nothing for God without the power of God. However, because we do serve a God of grace and mercy, every day we live, He gives us an opportunity to work for Him. And that is a promise from heaven. Please come join us at Little Rock AME Zion Church for our Sunday morning worship experience at 10 a.m. For more details, call 704-334-3782 or visit our website, www.littlerockamezion.org.
And now he's spending another 40 years as a shepherd of his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. At this point, he's about 80 years old. And as he is walking along, tending his sheep, it was an ordinary day. But he was walking on the backside of the mountain in the middle of a desert. And as he's walking along, he notices this sight. The bush is burning. Now, it was not unusual for a bush to burn in the middle of a desert. That was typical. That was not unusual. But what was unusual is that the bush that was burning was not burnt up. It was burning, but it was not consumed. And what God, I believe, is doing here is sending to Moses and to you and I a message. And what God does, He shows up and He shows out. And what He's doing here is letting Moses understand something. That here this bush is being afflicted, but it's not being destroyed. Oh God. Just like you and I, and just as our people, we may be afflicted, but while we may be afflicted, aren't you glad that we're not being destroyed?
Hallelujah.
And why is it that the bush is being afflicted but not destroyed? I'm glad you asked. The bush is being afflicted but not destroyed because God is in the midst of the bush. And the reason why you and I are being afflicted yet not destroyed, anybody glad besides me that God is in the midst of us and God is keeping us alive? Well, this got Moses' attention. And when God saw he had Moses' attention, he then calls Moses' name. I love the fact that God called Moses two times because God wants to get Moses' attention. And with the fact that he calls, whenever God calls someone twice, it is a sense of urgency.
Amen.
Moses. Moses had to take note of this burning bush talking to him. And Moses stopped and he looked at this bush. And what Moses understood is there's a different kind of atmosphere now, because this bush is talking to me. And Moses drew near to the bush. He started walking closer to the bush. But God says, before you come any closer, take your shoes off, because you are standing on holy ground. I thought about why God would tell Moses to take off his shoes. Well, it came to me, the reason why God told Moses to take off his shoes is because where Moses had been walking, oh God, what God was saying in my presence, You can't bring that up in here. I've come by to tell somebody that when you come to God's house, whatever you've been walking in out there, oh God, you can't bring that up in here. This is holy ground. This is a special place. You can't bring the world in here. You got to give some respect and some humility to the God so God can call you and God can tell you what he wants you to know. And so what God says to him, I'm going to rush on. The first thing I want you to understand is, as we understand that God wants us to let his people go, that what God does in the first instance is that God provides a holy introduction. He says to Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. When you come into the house of the Lord, before you could do anything, you got to make sure you know him for yourself. Amen. And God wants you to know who he is. Mm-hmm. And God says to Moses, I am the God of your father Abraham, your father Isaac, and your father Jacob. That's a holy introduction. Other words, I am not a new God. I am the same God. The same God I was to Abraham, I'll be to you. The same God I was to Isaac, I'll be to you. And the same God I was to Jacob, I'll be to you. That's good to know that God is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. So whatever you're going through, the same God who got our ancestors out of the trouble they're in, I'm here to announce to you that God can get you out of the trouble that you're in. Anybody glad about that besides me?
Amen.
Well, God wants us to know that I'm the same God. The same God who was Abraham's ram in the bush is still God. The same God who was Isaac's well is still God. The same God who was Jacob's ladder is still God. The same God who was Noah's ark is still God. The same God who was David's slingshot is still God. The same God who was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's cooling system is still God. The same God who was Daniel's lion tamer is still God. The same God who was Rosa Parks' butt seat is still God. The same God who was Frederick Douglass's printing press is still God. The same God who was Harriet Tubman's freedom train is still God. The same God who was Sojourner's truth is still God. The same God who was Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech is still God. The same God who was my granddaddy's leaning post is still God. The same God who was my grandmother's walking stick is still God. The same God who was my mama's prayer is still God. I've come by here to ask before you go, do you know him for yourself? I want you to know, do you know him for yourself? Have you met this God? I want you to know the same God who woke you up this morning and started you on your way is the same God who was before he was a world and shall be when that which was shall be no more. Come on, give God praise for being God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
God is summons his people to come and worship. And in worship, he provides, first of all, a holy introduction. He lets you know who he is. But not only that, God goes on to say to him, I have verse number 7. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the termites. No, not the termites. But I've come to bring them up out of this land. I want you to know, first of all, he provides a holy introduction. But not only before you go do you get a holy introduction, but you also get some helpful information.
Amen.
Some hopeful information. Let the church say hopeful information.
Hopefully.
God sees the condition of his people. He sees his people are under strict taskmasters. He sees his people are oppressed. His people are in sorrow. His people are in trouble. And what God is saying to Moses is, I'm going to do something about it. But I want you to understand that Moses is saying to God, well, it's about time. I'm sure Moses was thinking, about time you did something about it. But God says, no, I'm going to send you to go. I want you to go and let the people know that I know that they're in trouble, and I'm going to do something about it. The people that we serve today are people who have lost hope, and a hopeless people is a dangerous people.
Right.
Whenever you feel that what you desire will not be received, that is a hopeless person. And a hopeless person would do just about anything. A hopeless person will sleep with just about anybody. A hopeless person will smoke just about anything. A hopeless person will drink just about anything. A hopeless person will kill his own brother. A hopeless person will destroy his own community. So I've come by to I want you to go back and let the people know that even though you may be in trouble right now, trouble won't last always. I know you think that what you're facing, you're going to always face. I know you think that because you're crying, you're going to always cry. I know you think because you're broke, you're going to always be broke. I know you think because you're lonely, you're going to always be lonely. But I've come with some good news that you can have hope, because God sees what you're going through. God hears and he answers prayer. Anybody glad that we serve a God who hears and answers prayers? And he wants us to go back and give them some hopeful information. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will.
Thank you for tuning in to the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, Senior Pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and seeking a new church home, please feel free to come by our location, 401 North McDowell Street, just minutes from Uptown Charlotte. Our order of services are as follows: 9 a.m. Sunday School, 10 a.m. Morning Service, 12 noon Tuesday Midday Bible Study, and 6:30 p.m. Tuesday Evening Bible Study. If you want to know more about what's going on at Little Rock, you can visit us on the web at LittleRockAMEZion.org. Also, if you were blessed by today's message and want to obtain a copy in its entirety, call 704-334-3782. That's 704-334-3782. Little Rock AME Zion Church is a ministry with so much to offer. They have ministries for adults and children, choirs, missions, and outreach that helps inside the church and the community as a whole. And, of course, this radio broadcast, where God is glorified, Jesus is magnified, the people are edified, faith is fortified, and ministry is multiplied. Be blessed and tune in next Sunday, 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. for the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker on WPZS Praise 100.9 and 92.7, and online at www.praisecharlotte.com podcast page on your desktop computer, laptop, tablet, or smartphone.
Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. Please come join us at Little Rock AME Zion Church for our Sunday morning worship experience at 10 a.m. For more details, call 704-334-3782 or visit our website, www.littlerockamezion.org.
Praise listeners, now you can listen to some of the dynamic preaching by going to the PraiseCharlotte.com podcast page on your desktop computer, laptop, tablet, or your smartphone, 24/7, 365, with a great lineup of preachers. The Greater New Life Baptist Church's Dr. D.K. Martin, Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church's Reverend Matthew L. Browning, the Glory Has Come International Ministries Pastor Troy King, Little Rock AME Zion's Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, New New Bethel Church of God in Christ Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Weeping Willow AME Zion Pastor Enrico White. Trinity Christian Center Bishop Keith Felton. And finally, life-changing church overseer Dorothy McGuire. So log on PraiseCharlotte.com to hear the preached word any day of the week. Also, if your ministry or church wants to get the message out on the Praise Podcast, call Brian Moore, 704-548-7854 or via email at bmoore@radio-1.com.